Welcome to Hammer Don. Coming to you live every Thursday, Friday, and Monday right after the Pat McAfee Show on YouTube. Normally right around 310, 305, 315. And we are here every single week to give you the best gambling info, the best gambling picks. You don't have to follow our picks, but we're going to give you the info on where you should be and why you should be, the money movement, everything. I am your host, Tone Diggs. I am joined in studio by Bubba Gumpino, as always, and on the phone, on the FaceTime, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, the Daily Coach, writes for The Athletic, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Hi,
Michael.
How are we doing, guys?
Cannot complain. Absolutely cannot complain. Mick, can you put up everyone's records through the first 2 weeks, please? Just so we give everyone an idea of why they're listening to us and they're not. They should listen to us. Mitt, are you there?
Yes, I'll put those up in 1 second.
Okay, Mitt.
Michael, this is Mitt's our intern. In case you haven't met him before, Michael, this is Mitt. Mitt.
He's on his own program.
He's on his own program. He did score 31 on his ACT though, so. Apparently he's smart. Michael, I was going to save this for later. If you look at our sideboard here for Dolphins at Jags, and I want to talk about some things first, but this money has moved from 90% of the money was on the Dolphins this morning. 90% of the money was on the Jags this morning with 71% of the bets. Now it's still 71% of the bets, but only 70% of the money is on the Jaguars. Do you have any thoughts on what that money's doing and any thoughts on that game tonight? We'll just get right into it.
I think, you know, what you got here is a lot of people are coming in late on Miami. You know, that number has stayed right at 3. You got to take that number. If it goes down to 2.5, you don't really want the number. So because it's at 3, I think this is why there's some money on Miami. And you know, this is this week three of the season. So I actually, you know, last week I did power rankings of the teams, and okay, just wanted to see where the numbers would end up. And when I looked at my numbers last week, based on just taking emotion out of it, I would have been 12-4 if I just
went. Okay, is that good?
Yeah, is that good? Right.
Yeah. Good.
And so, you know, so this week I'm back in business again, and I have this as a pick 'em game.
Yep.
So I think that, you know, Jacksonville laying 3, if you're getting 3 in Miami, I mean, you got to take it.
Yeah, you had as a pick 'em, and that's where the game opened, and now it's up to 3, which is another key number that you want to jump on. Gumpy, what do you got, buddy?
Mike, we talked about it last week, how they play man-to-man with the Dolphins. With Byron Jones out, do you think they'll change that at all or try something different this week?
You know, in the Buffalo game, he got hurt, and, you know, they didn't change one bit. They had this corner number 40 in the game, and he couldn't cover anybody in there, and they kept asking him to cover, and it was hard, you know. And, of course, Xavier Howard got no action at all, right? You know, so he wasn't, like, nobody was attacking him. But the rookie from Auburn, who I can't say his last name, I mean, he was getting attacked. And then this kid 40, who is Needham, college free agent of 19, they were getting attacked. Look, you can't play man that much. And when you lose a guy like they lose with Jones, that makes it even harder to play man all the time.
Michael, and it's funny you say that because Pat tells a story all the time about Peyton. And anytime Peyton would see a number 40 coming at quarterback, he would immediately target him. And we asked Aaron Rodgers about this week, that this week, and he did the exact same thing. So I believe the Bills did the exact same thing to the Dolphins last week. Now with the Jags, everyone thought they were going to be horrible. David Blaine Caldwell, that you call him, he's been shipping everyone off. They've actually looked pretty decent from the scoreline and covering games to start the season. Do you think water's going to find its level here? Have you seen anything on tape that suggests the Jaguars are actually better than what we all thought before the season?
I think they're really well coached. I think they know who they are. They're going to run the West Coast offense. They don't try to do something that's not comfortable. I think after 3 weeks, especially after this game, people will get a really good handle on what they're trying to do offensively. It's day one West Coast install. And defensively, you know, they haven't really been great on defense. The Colts stopped themselves more than anything. In Tennessee, I thought Tannehill was great. Now, they played the run better last week.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, when you break it down, I mean, Tennessee at 231, Pat, 354 in the game. And, you know, they really couldn't stop him. I mean, Tannehill was throwing it all over the lot. I don't know if they could cover the young corner, C.J. Henderson. Mm-hmm. He struggled at times. But they don't. When they don't get, they're not going to get great pass rush. Josh, the Brian kid's a good pass rusher, but Josh Allen, I'm sorry, he's a good pass rusher, but they really don't have anyone else that you're worried about, and you can throw the football on them. I think that Miami, I think they'll be able to throw the football tonight.
Do you think with the Dolphins, like, not, they brought so much talent in defense, and they've been just as bad as last year? Do you think it's just going to take time with no real training camp?
I'm not sure they had a good offseason. You know, when you look at Jordan Howard, they gave him $5 million a year, and now he's got 13 carries, and they really play that. They play this kid Gaskins way more than they play Howard. Gave Howard $5 million, you know, and they gave Jones all this money from Dallas. He got hurt. Van Noy is not playing very well at all. I'm not sure they had a really good offseason. They gave a lot of money away. I'm not sure those players are coming through and playing like they need to right now.
Yeah, I don't know why Breda hasn't gotten many touches at all, Mike. I can't figure that out.
They like this Gaskins kid. I mean, they played him. They ran him. He ran hard. You know, they gave Howard $5 million a year, and he's had what? He's had 13 carries. I mean, seriously, you know, that's really a disconnect. If you give somebody $5 million a year, you're going to want to expect more out of them.
Mike, last thing on this game, there's a couple of hours ago, an hour or two ago, DJ Chark, the only wide receiver I honestly know on the Jaguars, was ruled out. How much does that hurt them?
Well, it hurts them a lot because in a man-to-man game, he can get vertical on people, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the guy that you got to really worry the most about. The kid from Colorado, Chenault, he's a good player.
Oh, yeah, they drafted
him. Keelan Cole also plays in there. Remember, they have Conley formerly from the Chiefs.
Carry on.
He's at outside. So, and then they have Dede Westbrook will play. So, I mean, look, knowing Josh Boyer of the Miami Dolphins, he coached in New England, he's going to play man again. And he's going to probably blitz. And I think he's got a pressure inside. Because one thing about Minshew, he's not exactly the tallest quarterback in the league. And what happened to him last week, when Tennessee rushed him inside, Tennessee started putting Clowney over the guard, and they tried to get so. And the reason they did that is not because they thought Clowney could beat the guard, is because Clowney is at 6'6", get his hands up, and makes it hard to throw for Minshew to throw the ball over his head. So you got to put pressure inside on Minshew, and I think that's what Miami will try to do tonight.
So do you have a pick or a lean or anything for tonight's game?
I'm leaning towards Miami. Once again, it goes back to my power rankings. I have this as a pick'em game. If I got a pick'em game, and I'm going to take whoever's giving me the points, I'll take Miami.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it as a pick tonight, but I'm also leaning the Dolphins just because, like you said, it started at a pick. It goes up to three. Three's a key number. It seems like the sharps are going on the Dolphins now, so I'm going to take it there. Gumpy, you got anything for tonight?
Yeah, just a lean for me, Tone. I mean, it'd be a complete homer pick if I went with the Dolphins here.
And then I don't know if Pat's making it an actual pick or not, but I know he was at least leaning to the Dolphins tonight. Other bets for tonight, we had Darius Butler on Pat McAfee's show earlier. He's taken Minshew over 264.5. He was studying the tape and thinks Minshew will go over on the 264.5. And just for FanDuel tonight, a super boost. Fitzpatrick to pass for 271 plus yards. Gesicki to score a touchdown, and Finns plus 5.5. That's a super boost for tonight. All right. So
I like the Gesicki one. Gesicki's played really well. He's a hard matchup guy. He's tall. He's got great hands. It's hard for him to cover. They're going to play a lot of. They play a lot of cover three in Jacksonville, which means I think their seams routes are going to be open. It's going to be hard to squeeze those seams with him running down there against. I think he's going to make some plays tonight. The key, though, is Parker stays healthy. Parker helps him become a better player. Parker has a hard time staying on the field. He's a really good player, but unfortunately, he gets a lot of injuries.
Preston Williams has also struggled too, which has hurt the Dolphins as well, Mike.
He drops way too many passes. At some point, you know, you're a college free agent. You can't drop passes.
He was
better than that.
He was really good before he got hurt last year as well. So it's kind of surprising there.
One thing a receiver has to do is catch the damn ball, you know, and especially one that's hit you in the hands.
Michael, and then we're talking about Gesicki in the cover three, and there, I know the Jaguars traded a safety to the Browns before the beginning of the season, and I believe the next week one of their starting safeties is out, and then they have the safety who Pat likes to call Joe Dirt. Are you familiar? Pat likes to call him Joe Dirt. Are you familiar with Joe Dirt?
No.
Great movie. You should watch it sometime. Just watch it sometime.
What is it? What movie?
Joe Dirt.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it's right up your alley. It might not be so much a Italian mafia movie, but you know, it's close.
I'll give it a shot. Look, I'll give it a shot. I'll try it. I don't, that's interesting. Jacksonville's team is, I think they play really hard, you know, yeah. And I thought they've come together. I think Marone's done a really good job. Just don't think they're talented enough. And the longer the game, look, Miles Jack's good. Schubert's good. They've got some good players. I'm just not sure how good they are. They did a good job of stopping Henry from running the ball, but they couldn't stop Tannehill from throwing it.
Let me ask you then, going back to Gesicki for the Dolphins. So when you have Miles Jack and Joe Schobert at the linebacker position, who are maybe they're actually not bad linebackers. How does that affect for the cover three and for the tight end?
Well, I mean, look, they don't leave the box, so they're a zone team, mm-hmm. So they won't really let those guys go out there. If they're playing man, they got to go get them. So it's really for Fitzpatrick, it's pretty easy read. He knows if he puts the tight end outside the receiver and Jack or Schubert, it'll be Jack that goes and covers them. He knows now he's in a man game. If they just extend it and put the corner out there, he knows he's in a zone game. And so it's a great indicator for him because the Jacksonville Jaguars are not trying to disguise anything. They're trying to play as fast as they can play, run their scheme, get to their spots, and break on the football and tackle really well. That's their key.
Michael, you've talked about this before, and it always blows my mind to that point. Why don't more offenses motion pre-snap to get a read on the defense?
A lot of, like, the Giants don't use motion at all, and they wonder why they can't run the ball. I mean, one thing about motion, what you see motion in run games is you're trying to force the run force to change. If you see a run where there's an edge that doesn't have a run force to it, or somebody who's forcing the ball back, it's because they probably have screwed up who's the run force player. And you use motion to mess up with run force. And then you use motion to help the quarterback get an indication mm-hmm. of whether it's bad. When you motion a guy from slot to pro, and the corner, and all they do is move it over, that's an easy read for the quarterback. He knows they're in some form of zone, mm-hmm. whether it's middle of the field open, middle of the field close, and then he can get a read on it. Whereas if he's trailing and going across and they're pushing it off, or they're in a bunch and the guy's pointing the bunch out saying, I got him right, you kind of know. You want that. You want to be able to read that pre-snap. What New England does in the goal line all the time is they do it all the time in the goal line is they take their running back and they put the back outside. And then they bring the back in. So now Brady or Cam Newton now knows when they line up initially, if the backer went out there, he comes back in, they know whether they're in zone or man. Now what's happened over the last couple seasons is teams have changed. When they motion it out, they might have been in man. When they come back, they might change it to zone. So that's what they call in New England an indicator, and that's what you got to have.
I would like to welcome to the studio Mr. Pat McAfee. And as he comes into the studio, Mick, can you now put up everyone's records through 2 weeks?
Oh, how are we doing?
Mick's in the right mood. I don't want to upset Mick. If he's not ready to do it, he doesn't have to do it. Mick.
Through 2 weeks, we are all winning, and he didn't change your record, Pat. You were supposed to be 6-4.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, Mick.
We talked about this morning, Mitt. And I told you that. This kid sometimes.
He tried to short me on two wins earlier as well.
It's all right. I feel like we're winning here, and that's all that really matters. I got Connor's glasses on because I can't really open my eyes because something hit me right in the mouth and the lungs whenever I walked on the way in here. But Mr. Lombardi, I heard that earlier in the show you said you're leaning Miami. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel very, very good because our entire office is leaning Miami, and I thought that was a scary situation.
Yeah, no, I like Miami tonight. I think Miami's played two good teams. I mean, Buffalo and New England are good teams. And they played Buffalo down to the wire. I think they got tired at the end of the game. I think the weather hurt them, especially on defense, as much as anything. And then the New England game, I mean, they turned the ball over in that game. I have faith in Brian Flores. I think this is a tough team. They'll keep playing. I think Fitzpatrick, when he plays against a team that he knows the coverage, I think he'll be pretty good. Jacksonville's not trying to decoy anybody with what they do. They just try to play faster.
I just max bet while taking a shit on them. So.
Is that an official pick then for tonight?
Yeah, I got Miami plus 3 And I'm also going with them money line win as well. And I single game parlayed plus three money line and over for the thing today for like a plus 620. I feel very good about Ryan Fitzmagic having a magical evening, Mike.
Yeah, I think they got about – look, there was a sense of – you know, that game kind of got – with the rain delay, the thunder delay, it kind of got away from a little bit. I mean, they had their chances against Buffalo. There's no denying. They just gave up plays down the stretch that they can't do. They got caught in some man-to-man coverages, and Allen made great throws.
Yeah, and like I had the graphic up. Pat, you were 6-4.
Thank you.
Gumpy, 7-4. I'm 7-4. And then Lombardi is 4-2. So, I mean – is that good?
Is that good?
Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're over the, you know, look, maybe Vegas Dave's doing better. I don't know, but he's charging you for it. You're getting free ones here.
Michael, I wanted to talk to you. So last week, there was 7 to 8 lines that opened or finished 7 points or greater. This week, there's only 2 games that are 7-plus points greater. Which kind of week do you enjoy more, or which kind of week do you think is easier to pick when it's tighter lines, tighter games, or when there's big dogs?
I thought last week, I mean, I was 2-for-1. I should have probably had more games to pick last week. This week, I'm having a harder time finding things I like.
Oh.
I am. Here's why. Like, my power rankings say I should take Washington against Cleveland. My eyes say I can't do that.
1,000%.
My power rankings say I should take Tennessee over Minnesota, but something's fishy with that line. It opened at 1.5. It's at 2.5. That bothers me. Like, that line should be 6. It shouldn't be that, you know, especially with no fans in the stand. The other one is my eyes tell me that Cincy's not very good and Philly needs a bounce back to take Philly. But my power ranking says it's a 2-point game. I should take Cincy. So I've got a lot of those here, like Las Vegas and New England. Like I have it as a 3.5-point game. The line's 6.5. I mean, I got a lot of those, and my eyes are like okay, another one. Like Tampa-Denver, I'm not touching that game because my number says it's a 6-point game, and it ended up being a 6-point line.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on. Actually, while we were on Pat McAfee Show YouTube every day from 12 to 3, the Patriots dropped to 5.5, and Eagles dropped to 4.5. So there's some line movement going on with those games. Gumpy?
Yeah, Mike, why do you think the Cardinals line has stayed at minus 5.5?
I can't answer that. Like and you know what? And my power rankings, this should be a 10-point line. I thought it was going to.
Do you have algorithms over there that run through the game? Do you do Madden? What are your power rankings that get the exact score? Like, how does that work?
You know, Pat, what I've done is I've developed this last year. I just took a bunch of the categories that I really think matter and what determines the outcome of games.
Can you let us what do you think are some of the most important categories that you have in there?
Like, you got to grade the coaching staffs. That's really important.
Huh.
You got to every quarterback, and I don't want to do this, but I use ESPN's QBR every week. Then I grade turnovers and grade missed field goals, because missed field goals are turnovers. So if you're a team that's fortunate enough to have missed field, that goes to your column. And then, you know, 2-minute offense, 2-minute defense, a first half point differential for me, rushes and completions. If Bill Parcells would get in his office Monday morning, and he would add the rushing attempts and the completions together. And when that number's over 53 or 54, your execution's pretty good. So what I do is I have about, on my board, I would say I have 15 categories, okay? And I put the numbers in on Tuesday after the games. And then once those numbers come in, I tally, every team has a ranking. You know, Baltimore's the best team in the league. The Giants are the worst team in the league based on those numbers. And then I pit them against one another and see how they do. So Baltimore's playing Kansas City, and I have that line should be, Baltimore should be a 5.5-point favorite. That line's at 3.5. I think it's moving.
It's funny you say that, because I believe all the money is actually in the Sharps are coming in on Baltimore. So I think they agree with you there.
Well, I think they probably – I mean – the amount of detail you just went into there, I'm just over here like, I think Fitzmagic's going to have a night over here.
Well, you're the Jimmys and Joes.
I'm a Jimmys and Joes. You're the X's and O's, data's analytics. Let's go ahead and read that thing. And by the way, whenever you and I agree on something, it makes me feel so good.
I want to take bias out of it, right? But I also don't want to be stupid. Like, I'm not going to bet something that my eyes are telling me something different. Part of what we have to understand as bettors, and this is same no different than picking players in the draft, elimination is more important than finding. So you got to eliminate games that you're not going to play. Like, I'm not going to play Tampa-Denver. That line's perfect. But I am going to play Dallas-Seattle.
So does it have a mustache? No. In that guess who game. That's what you do each week, basically.
Right. And so, or I get my dog Bella over here to just bark whenever she likes a team. But the thing is, like, Dallas and Seattle, that line should have been 2.5.
It's 5.
Now it's 5. It was 5.5. I'm on Dallas.
Michael,
So the guy who won the $1 million contest last year at the Westgate, he basically read my book and then used all these numbers to come up with a
dollar. Did he give you any credit?
He gave me credit, never gave me a tip.
Good for you.
Michael, one of the games I have up there, I have on the side is trap lines. And I had the Titans there because that seems like it should be different. And there's 99% of the money on the Titans, but it's really not moving. The Cardinals, one we talked about. You said you had the Giants as the worst team on your power rankings. And right now, 49ers at Giants. It opened 6.5. It's now 3.5. The Giants are the dogs. 41% of the bets on the Giants, but 91% of the money is on the Giants.
I eliminated that game because I felt like the 49ers power rankings were done with players who aren't going to be on the field.
Gotcha.
So I had to take that out. So, like, that number for me should have been a 9-point favorite by San Francisco, but the players that amassed that number for San Francisco probably aren't going to be on the field. Garoppolo, Bosa, you know, all those. So I got to let that game's got to come off. I can't pick that game.
Will you go back and see how Mullins performed a couple years ago when he had those three?
I love Mullins. I told a team in the league that I would trade for Mullins if I were them. A team called me a couple weeks ago and said, who would you trade? What quarterback do you think could be a starter? And I think Mullins could be that guy. I really do. I like him better than Beathard, and clearly so do the 49ers. I think he's a good player. Like, I'm not scared of him playing in the game. I'm really not.
What team could that have been? who's light at quarterback? Who could that have been?
Denver.
Could have been Denver, huh? That could have been Denver.
I said on my podcast today, if I were Denver, if I were John Elway, and I had a Hall of Fame jacket, and I had a steakhouse in Denver, I would tell the coaches, we're losing every game. We're 0-2. Our quarterback's hurt. Why not just go all in for Trevor Lawrence?
Now, listen, you are a former GM in the NFL, so you saying this is going to potentially cause a little bit of a reaction by some people that are watching this or whatever. The idea that a team or a franchise or an organization would be like, hey, listen, let's go ahead and sacrifice 1 year so that the next 10 years could be awesome. That is something that's always been like talk about. You think that it could actually happen, even though the players will never quit because they're trying to make as much money as possible?
Right. I don't think they will. But, like, look, Denver, look, you benefited from it. I mean, you lose Peyton the year Andrew Luck comes out. I mean, that's just damn fortunate, right? Mm-hmm. And you had no backup quarterback on the roster. I mean, you lived through that, Pat. I mean, like, you're not going to win with Jeff Driscoll. Von Miller's not playing. They got a bunch of injuries. Sutton's out. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, Denver, for me, once again, these numbers are false. But – like, that game should be a 6-5. I'm not touching it, but I don't know how good Denver is anyway.
That conversation happen? I'm sorry, Gumpy, because I'm very intrigued by this, because when the Colts...
It has to come from the owner. Like, I don't think it happens. That conversation doesn't happen. What I'm saying is, if I were John Elway, I would start selling off assets that I thought could benefit me next year and just say, hey, Vic, I'm sorry, man, but look, this is in the franchise... The franchise is more important than your one loss record. I'm going to give up. But if we can get the first pick in the draft, we should and look, we've got great history. John Elway, mm-hmm. Peyton Manning. We got two Hall of Famers that played quarterback for this team. Why not?
Do you think they're overrating Drew Lock, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Like, I said it this summer. Like, I understood why they didn't bring Cam in, but they missed their golden opportunity. You put Cam Newton on this Denver Bronco teams, what do you think they would think of them?
Well, you put Cam Newton anywhere, they're going to be good. And I think the Raiders had a chance to sign him in his head because they signed Mariota to $8 million or whatever. So I would assume there's
I mean, you don't think Gruden's – I mean, he would have beaten out Carr. If the Raiders would have signed him, they could, you know, and his personality is so, like my, like I asked my son and he said, I've never been around anybody like this guy. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's got that leadership skills that are rare.
Michael, we'll get out of the, out of here on this and we'll do our full picks tomorrow, 3:10 tomorrow, right here, same time, same place. Bruce Arians has made a lot of news this week, talking about a guy that you're very familiar with. should they be trying to get Gronk the ball a little bit more?
I don't know how much Gronk's got left in the tank. I think Bruce would be a nice. I think in the now it's early. It's September, right? Like, I think Clowney was horrendous last week, right? And I can go through. I mean, I got a bunch of guys here that are making a ton of money that haven't played very well. Jason Witten's got two catches for 5 yards. He's made four. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys. So it's early yet. It's early. It's guys having a camp. So give them September before. But Gronk doesn't look like the same Gronk to me.
I agree.
He just doesn't. I mean, now, maybe he's getting his legs underneath of him. I'm going to give him another 2 weeks, but he's not the same guy.
You know, I think it's hard to judge because if a play isn't designed for a guy, it might be different. I think there's a lot of plays designed for Gronk whenever he's in New England because he is a game changer. But there was this one highlight, low light, whatever, that they showed of Gronk. He was running down a seam, and the ball was a little bit away from him, and it looked like it just hit off his fingertips, and he kept running. And it, my immediate reaction upon watching it, and I have no thoughts on whether or not Gronk is falling off or anything like that, or if he'll explode the rest of the season. My immediate thought watching it was, oh, that's a guy who hasn't just got his ass just handed to him in 2 years and just being like, oh, I don't know. Because that's you have to rebaptize yourself into the, okay, I'm going to get killed again. Because that's what Gronk did is over the middle. He got hit a lot. That's why he had back problems, everything like that. So I don't know if that's going to take a little bit or whatever, but that one potential drop, I thought, I was like, oh, that is something that looks like a guy that is, knows that there's money outside of football and maybe doesn't want to get killed on this particular third down or second down or whatever it was.
And when I saw that drop, I was with Ozzie Newsome. We were together in Cleveland. When Ozzie left, he came upstairs to start to learn personnel. And he would say to me, I knew I couldn't play anymore because I started dropping easy balls and my legs were gone. And ever since that day, when I watch players that are older and they don't catch the ball like they used to, it tells me their legs are gone. You see it in the NBA quite a bit. You see it in the NBA when a guy fumbles the ball, it comes in the post, or he just doesn't have it. Then it makes no sense. You know, I've lost my legs, so there goes my hands. Like, that doesn't make sense. But when you really think about it, it makes sense. And Ozzie told me that years ago, and we actually told Belichick and I that years ago, and we followed that. You could see it. Guys have just don't have it in their legs. Like A.J. Green, he just doesn't have it right now. His hands don't match his. There's no juice in that body.
Well, I think it's because
it may come.
I think it's because you're exhausted. So whenever you're exhausted, the little things start kind of get forgot about because you're trying to survive or whatever. Is that what you mean by not having the legs? Like they're kind of not in shape.
I think they don't have that power in their legs. Like, you know, like let's take Drew Brees. I mean, Brees says he never felt better, but Brees's lower body is where he gets his power for his arm. And make no mistake about it, he can't drive the ball like he used to. He's only thrown 7 passes over 10 yards this season of the 68, only 7. So he can't drive it. It's his lower body. Why do pitchers run in the outfield in spring training? To strengthen their lower body. Mm-hmm. And when you lose that lower body, it affects your hands.
And also a study just came out from the Times that when you have a good lower body, research has shown that you will live longer than people.
I believe that.
Yeah, with people with little baby ass legs. Evan Fox.
It's 1,000% true. Michael, thank you so much for today. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:10 with all your picks.
We'll
appreciate
tomorrow.
It.
Hey, Miami tonight. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you, man.
Miami +3 official pick for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Lock it in.
And then also, there is a college game tonight. No pick on that for me, but I do have a lean to South Alabama. They're playing UAB. Let me tell you why, Pat, okay?
Please do. I'm a big college football guy.
South Alabama, they upset Southern Miss, obviously Frank Gore's kid in week one.
Yep.
And then they almost beat Tulane. They're on an 8-2 against the spread run. They've covered 5 in a row at home. UAB only 3 covers in their last 9. UAB has given up 6.5 yards per carry.
Who is this?
This is South Alabama.
Okay.
They're getting 7.5, okay? UAB has given up 6.5 yards per carry, and that was against Central Arkansas and Miami. And then South Alabama's running back is almost averaging 6 yards per carry. So I'm taking South Alabama in the points tonight. Thank you very much.
You think they win outright?
As a lean. Maybe.
It's plus 235 right now.
Hey, I did find some dogs this weekend that I will be giving my Tony cash out parlay of the week
for college. I would like it to be known that I'm currently 4-2 on college game day with my picks.
Is that good?
Is that good? We will continue that run this weekend, I believe, on game day. I'm not 100% sure. I'll get told tomorrow. But I'm pretty sure.
They shouldn't stop it now. They 1,000% stop. Shouldn't stop it.
Not at 4-2. If I get cold, I'll go ahead and cut the faucet off. But as long as this thing's spitting out winners, let's go.
Listen, if we're winning, Gump, you got anything? Any last notes for tonight?
Fins up. Let's get this win tonight.
Fins up. This whole office is on the fence.
You know what, though? The problem, I didn't even think about this. We could have never guessed that we have a Dolphins fan in the office because this is kind of new that Gumpy's been here.
Yeah.
Has he kind of, with his biases, potentially forced us into thinking that the Dolphins are better than they are tonight? Is that why the entire office is on the Dolphins?
I haven't talked to Fins up much.
If anything, I know about this office, if somebody is actually rooting for a team, it makes us like that team less.
Yeah, this office is a terrible place.
It's a toxic culture.
Hey, we're all pulling for your Fins tonight, Gumpy.
We're all pulling for you. Tomorrow, same time, 3:10 on the YouTube. We'll be back with Michael Lombardi with his picks. We'll give all of our picks for the weekend, our Survivor pool that is still going. If you can't catch us live, we put this out as a podcast everywhere you find podcasts every single day. We appreciate you watching and listening. If you have anything that you want to know. Oh, also, a lot of people have been asking for like a how-to gambling.
Yeah, since the beginning of doing a show.
Yeah, so we're going to do that next week on Wednesday. Not as a live show. We're just going to put it out as a podcast, I think.
And also, if you're watching the show and you have a lady and you watch sports together and they might not love sports, get them into gambling. I've gotten my wife into gambling, and she calls it playing FanDuel. So whenever she's watching games with me, she's invested a little bit more. She'll still mess around, fuck around on the phone, not really watching entire games, but she is much more invested and dialed in, and she's enjoying, I think, football a lot more than she ever has. She likes football, but now the games that seem to be nothing to her, she's like, okay, now I got a team, a rooting interest. It's good for the entire family is what I'm saying.
Yeah, listen, they're going to sit there in the same room with you regardless, so you might as well make it slightly more enjoyable for them. Be a good significant other. That's all we're saying.
Good job, Tony.
That's all we're saying. And we will see you tomorrow with the Locks Hammer Don for the weekend. Later.